Let's pray.
Well, Father, thank you for the Bible, for the amazing stories it tells of people's lives touched by you, the living God. And we thank you for this lovely little story we're reading here, the book of Ruth. Pray you bless it to our hearts, Lord, and just help us to see once again your amazing hand in people's lives. And Lord, what you did then, Lord, you promised to work in our lives too, as we put our trust in you. We want to say thank you, Lord, and in advance, Lord, just pray you'll bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. So, chapter 2, and the introduction to chapter 2 was the last verse of chapter 1. I've said that the way this book is written, the chapter that finishes leads us a link into the next chapter. So the last chapter is Naaman returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So early on in the year, that's when they start. Yeah, okay. Now then, Naomi had a relative in on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz.
Oh,
right. So here's a relative. I don't know if she knew about him beforehand, but she's going to find out about him. The important thing about it is he's a relative of her husband. Yeah? It may have been her nephew or something like that, you know, sort of thing. But he's a chap from the clan of Elimelech, what her husband was in. A man of standing. What's that mean? He can stand up.
Important.
Right. A bit of a name in the village where he came from. And the village was Bethlehem. Right. So, and his name is Boaz. Right. And what does Boaz mean? Have you looked it up? No. In him is strength. That's what it means. It's a good name to have, isn't it? That was one of the names of the temple pillars. Do you remember that? Yes. I believe it was. Wrong, but I think it is. Yeah.
Not the ones that
Solomon. No, the temple that Solomon built. He had two big columns, one on the outside. Mm. Yeah? And one of them, I'm sure he was called Boaz. Yes, in his strength. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they did have names.
Yes, yeah. Okay, anyway, this is the man called Boaz. An important man. Right? Yeah. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." So Ruth comes up with this idea to say to Naomi, well, it's harvest time. Let me go out and gather the leftovers. That's what it is. It's the leftovers.
The poor. Did they leave them for the poor?
Yes. Now, they left them for the poor. It was one of the laws in the first five books that it was required of people who had land that they, when they planted their crops and fields, that they weren't to completely clean out everything. They were to leave some of the edges for the poor. Right? That was God making a provision for the poor. It was a sort of social services thing. But God was ever so wise. He didn't give it to the poor, but he did give it to the poor. What did the poor have to do to get it? They had to work. Right, he gave them the honour. I mean, I mean that by that. It wasn't that they were just being doled out stuff. They could have the pride, if you want the right word, pride of making a living by getting their stuff, even though they were poor. Right? And the other thing that's really interesting is that God made sure that those who had a lot made sure that they made some provision for those who had very little. And now what do farmers do? Go on, Ron, you tell us. You were a farmer once. What do they do with their fields?
Well, I suppose since they combine, they're in with cultivators and things.
They get every last little grain out they can.
Oh, yes, they virtually do. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. Forget the poor.
Imagine what they're
right? We extract the max. Yes. Society has not got what God planted in those early books. Yeah. So that was the culture, the tradition of the day, that those that were poor had the opportunity and the freedom to be able to go and glean. Gleaning was the word, right? So they picked up the bits that were left over, sort of thing. Right, so she says to her mother-in-law, "Let me do that. I'll go and do that." Why does she want to do that? Because they need to eat.
Yes.
But also, Naomi is not getting any younger. I suspect that Naomi will stay at home and look after the house. I'm interested as to what house they lived in. Did they go back to where they'd come from in Bethlehem? Had the property that they had once? being kept for them, doesn't say. No. So what they did about accommodation, they obviously had some, but Ruth says, I'll go and do some gleaning. Let me go. And she says, you know, I'll go and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour. So she says, you know, I'll just see how it falls, eh? Right, that's how it's going to go. Right. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. Isn't that lovely? Yeah. Go for it. Yes, you do that, my love. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. So she could see the people were working away there. What did the harvesters do? There was it tended to be this, that the men had the cutting stuff, they cut down the stuff, and the ladies of the team gathered the things together and put them into stacks or whatever it was, and somewhere along the line they beat the grain out of it eventually, but that was the idea, eh? You'd stand it in stocks for a while to let it dry off. Yep, so that was the sort of way they did the harvesting in those days. They didn't have combine harvesters, they had combine people. Yep. So, right, yes. And that's made a great difference to the employment levels, hasn't it, of course? Yes. Right, now then, okay, so she does that. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. I love the Bible. As it turned out. That's the joke of the year. You know why, as it turned out? Because it turned out, because God was making it turn out. That's why. Yeah, it just happened. Yeah, no, it didn't just happen. But that's how it is in life for us, isn't it? It looks like it's just all hit and miss. You never know quite how he's going to do. And yet, looking back, and that's always that, isn't it? When you look back, you think,
he has a plan.
I see. I mean, that was true in my own experience and ours and Jean's, of course. God got us into the habit of going to church. Jean had been a churchgoer when she was a young girl, and got us into the habit of going to church, and we got to a church where we finally heard the gospel, you know. And the other thing was that when it came to it, for example, when we moved from Leeds, where we were studying at university, we decided that I'd get a job somewhere and Jean would get a job. And we looked around, you know, we made all the decisions. Mm-hmm. And we decided we moved to a place called Soham. 2 miles from here, you know. Because I was working in Cambridge and Jean got a job at the college, the village college there. So we got it all worked out. We were going to Soham because we decided. Yeah. And that's where we got saved. Well, you look back, you say, well, Lord, I know we made the decisions, but I know you were in on it somewhere. So that's just the case for dear Ruth. It just so happened, yes, as it turned out. Well, it turned out for the best because God's got her on his case, yeah? Right, so it's the fields belonging to Boaz. Right, just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters.
That's another coincidence.
Just then, yes, just so happened that she's doing the work, he turns up. I mean, he'd probably got lots of fields. Could have been any one of them, lots of fields he'd gone to. He happens to turn up at this one while she's working there, right, at just the right time. And why is it he's arrived from Bethlehem? He says he's arrived from Bethlehem because the fields aren't in the town, they're on the outskirts. Of course, aren't they? Yes. You don't grow your fields right in the house, you know. Right, so it's outside the town. Yeah, so he turns up. And now this is amazing. There's a lovely comment by Matthew Henry, I'll tell it to you in a moment, about how it is in his day, as it was, and it'd be the same today, of course. He says, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem, and he says to the harvesters, the Lord be with you. That's his greeting to his workers. And the workers call back, and the Lord bless you, they call back. Isn't that amazing?
It'd be nice if it
happened today. Right. He said, this was Matthew Henry, if you went out to the fields today, you wouldn't hear them blessing you, I can assure you that. Yeah? Well, what a good thing, eh? What a wonderful, wonderful thing. To my mind, this shows what the Christian's witness can be. You know, if you are like Boaz and his workers, you know, Ruth is going to be seriously impressed by the nation that she's come to join, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. Remember, this is the time of judges. Things weren't always as brilliant as they could be, but at this point in time, it's looking good around Bethlehem, at least, anyway. So, they call back, the Lord bless you. What a great thing, eh? And it wasn't just, you know, good morning, chaps. It meant something. Yeah. Yes. Right. Okay, so Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, who is that? Whose young woman is that? That's interesting, isn't it? What does Boaz spot as soon as he arrives?
She's pretty.
Talent.
talent spotter. She's pretty. She's a bonny girl. Yes. But he also notices she's a stranger, I guess. Because, you know, he knows his workers. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah? He's familiar with what's going on. Yeah. Right. And he sees this new person on the block. And she's a pretty lady. I'm sure she was, yeah? Right. Whose young woman is that? What's that sort of question? What's that mean?
Is she taken?
That's right, yeah. Is she married to somebody, yes? Mm-hmm. Well, she was. That had been, anyway, hadn't she? Yeah? Right. And the foreman replied. The foreman's got all the info, you know, right? She's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. Right, so that's he's got that bit of information. How did he find that out? Might have asked her, or talk of the town, you know, well, talk of the village, yeah. Word gets around, yeah. So that's that. And then he says, she said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. So there's something about Ruth there that says she's not pushy. You know, she asks permission to do this, doesn't she? Yeah, there's a gentleness about it. Please let me do that. So she's asking permission. She went about it in the right way. And she went into the field, and this is his description. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. How about that? Now then, what's that tell you about Ruth?
She's a good worker.
That's what it is, yes. Yeah. She was a right good worker, as we say in Yorkshire. Yeah. And he's commending this lady, isn't he? That's the foreman saying, you know, she's not some of back around messing about sort of thing. She's working. Why did Ruth do that? He's a good worker. She's diligent, and she's doing it not just for herself. She's doing it for mum.
Women are like that.
They just work hard.
Most women.
Right. Okay. Well, you've been to India a few times. You would have seen that, wouldn't you? Someone described that. They saw a scene of certain, I don't know if it was in India or not. All the young men sitting around doing nothing, and all the women working away.
Yeah.
Anyway, something not quite right there, but yes, good for Ruth. Anyway, there she is. So he says she's been working except for a short rest in the shelter. Why? She had a short rest in the shelter.
It's hard work.
It's hard work, yes. Why in the shelter?
Tea break.
Sunshine.
It's a tea break because it's hot. Right, the sun's out, yes. So it's a tea break, you could say, and the rest. Right, okay. So, Boaz said to Ruth, which means he went up to her. Mm. Right? He asked about it, and now he goes up to talk to her. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Now, why does he call her my daughter?
Because she's young.
She's younger than he is, that's right. It's a term of respect as well, of course, you know, sort of a right attitude sort of thing, yeah?
Might it not be that he recognised that there was some relationship?
I don't think he did.
Family
connection. I don't. It turns out later on he gets that message. He might have had some small idea of that, but I think this is just a proper address in a way of greeting somebody. Yeah? So, yeah, not "or you" sort of thing, but you know, my daughter. Is that lovely? Right. So, my daughter, listen to me. Right. So, I've got something important to tell you. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Right. He's telling her what to do. Why?
He's looking after her.
Yes. He says, we'll take care of you, yeah? Right. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow after the girls. So she knows that already, but he's just telling her what's to be done, right? Follow after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. So he's already had a word with them, right? You leave her alone, yeah? And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. How about that, yeah? Then he's to follow after the girls. Now, what were the girls doing? These are his workers, by the way.
Yeah.
They're binding things up. They're gathering stuff together, yeah? Right, so he says, you just follow them, and whatever's left out of the way and so on, you know, that's for you, yeah? And if you're thirsty, you've got my permission to go and get a drink. Yeah. So he's taking care of her, isn't he? Mm. Yeah. Why is he doing that?
Because he fancied her.
No, it's not that.
Yes, he is.
It's, well, I'm sure he's quite sure about it.
Tonight.
No, but this is Boaz. He's different. Yeah? Boaz is a gentleman. This is a story of a gentleman and a lady, yeah? Boaz is a gentleman. Why does he do that? Well, he's going to tell you, right? And it's a spiritual reason. He's saying is, you've been a blessing to an Israelite. We're going to show you what Israelites can do for you. Yeah? So, at this, she bowed low, down with her face to the ground. My goodness me, that's the way they did it in those days. Yeah, humble, isn't she? Yeah, and she exclaimed, she's really been touched, why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a stranger? Why? What? Why are you picking me out for all this good stuff? Yeah, she says, I'm basically she's saying is I'm nobody. Yeah, I'm a stranger, you know, I don't count with people here, really. I'm just a nobody.
Isn't that a law?
Sorry?
Isn't that a law in Israel? Be kind to foreigners.
Well, they were to be kind to foreigners, yes. It was God's command to do that, yes. Because they were strangers once, and therefore they should show that to those that were strangers. Yeah, but she's really struck by this generous attitude, yeah? So Boaz replied, now this is why he did it, yeah? Boaz replied, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. Well, where did he find all that out? It's the grapevine again, isn't it? Yeah? Everybody knows everybody's business. Well, this is good in this instance. Yeah? He knows the story of what Ruth has done for Naomi. But not only that, what she's done in making a choice to associate with the people of God. Yeah? She said, how you left your father and mother and came to live with the people you did not know before. Yeah? She's chosen, you remember what she said last week? Your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. Yeah? And somehow that's got around the village, it would seem. Yeah? And then he pronounces a blessing over. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. How about that? Did you know there are rewards?
Amen.
For good works and good deeds. Mm-hmm. Right? The amazing thing is, this is God, you know. He gives you the grace to do the good things, and then he rewards you for doing them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's quite good, isn't it? That's double generosity, I think. So he's blessing Ruth, because Ruth's been blessed. And so he pronounces his blessing over her, and then he says this, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? Isn't that a lovely... What's the image that God is... Well, what Boaz is using, but it's God speaks of himself like this. That you can come under his wings. Mm-hmm. I didn't know God had got wings.
They had in their tabernacle that... Yeah. Wings on the ceiling.
Well, yes, but what's the image he's using? It's a farmyard image.
Well, the chicken.
It's the chickens.
And the hens.
And yeah? Mum hen calls out to her chicks and they've got the little heads peeking out, you know, that they are secure under the wings of this.
My granddad had a fire out in Emnes, yes. Bound, and he was walking ash and he just kicked something out, and this bird had just
covered them and protected
them.
Yeah, amazing, eh? So, what a lovely image. So he says, you know, may God, the God of Israel, the God you've chosen, and you've left all that was yours to come here, may he reward you. Right, well, the lovely thing is you bless people, and you know, you might find out you get blessed yourself. He's going to be the answer to his blessing in the end, isn't he? He's going to get blessed through blessing her. But that's for another chapter, of course. But anyway, right. So, she says, may I continue to find favour in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You've given me comfort and spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. She says, I'm still a nobody, but thank you very, very much. Yeah, that's what it's about, isn't it? And she acknowledges his kindness. Right, so at mealtime, so sometime later, right, she's carried on working, he's gone back to meet his men and all that sort of thing. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here and have some bread and dip it in wine vinegar. Right, so they've got a little snack going at mealtime. So he invites her over to have some food with the workers. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And what do they have for food here?
Bread.
Some bread.
Wine vinegar.
And wine vinegar.
Whatever that is.
Well, it's a type of vinegar that's made from wine. Sounds good, doesn't it, yeah? And it's mixed with other things, apparently. I looked it up. Apparently it's a very refreshing drink. Sounds a bit so, makes you, you know, your teeth go on edge a bit, but apparently it doesn't.
Oh, it is a drink. Yeah. I didn't know
it's a refreshing drink.
Dish your bread in just a dip or something.
Well, no, it's not bread. Just that. It's a refreshing drink as well, but this is, you know, get your bread moistened up as well.
Things like raspberry vinegar, which are in the...
I would have thought they had... Well, I might be wrong. I don't think they'd have raspberries. Just
no,
for making.
What I'm saying is that the fruit with the vinegar...
Okay, I'm with you. All right. Oh, yeah. I see. Right. Ah, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Some sort of fruit drink.
Yeah.
Yes, a puree with the stuff in it. Yeah? Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it's meant to be nice. And obviously it was, yeah? Because you wouldn't give your workers something to put them off, would you, right? Right. So, when she sat down with the harvesters, so she's taken up the invitation, he offered her some roasted grain. Oh. Now then, how about that? Do you fancy some roasted grain?
Mm. Yeah,
yes. Now, the thing, the important thing about this is, that the grain, when they're harvesting it, hasn't completely dried out. You have to let it dry out for a while, you know that? So when they harvest it first, it's got some degree of moisture in it, so when you put it on a baking plate, it roasts very nicely. Right? So it gelatinizes the starch in it and so on, and makes a nice little meal of itself. So roasted grain, it's doing all right, eh? Nice dinner? Mm-hmm. Yep, so there we are. She ate all she wanted and had some left over, so they gave her a big helping, it would seem. Right? Well, either that or she didn't eat very much. She was not a big eater. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, so what does she do with what's left over?
Tucked it on.
It's a ducky bag. Yes, yeah, right, yes, that's what she's going to do, but you'll see that. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Now, he's obviously taking more of an interest in this one, yes? He says, even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. So in other words, if she makes a mistake and starts picking stuff that she's not supposed to have, you leave her alone, yeah? Right? And then rather, not only that, rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. She says, hey, lads, now you're gathering the wheat, but while you're gathering, throw a bit over as well while you're at it, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's taking out of what they would have had and making her get extra.
He's falling in love with her, isn't he?
Right? He's coming, isn't he? It looks like he's taking a shine to her, we could say. He's certainly being kind to her anyway. Right. So you just leave her alone. And as I say, at the back of it, I mean, there is this natural human attraction, I'm sure. But there's a really lovely spiritual thing about this. He is honouring her because she has honoured her mother. Yeah, that's what it's about. And the honour that she's given to the God of Israel, he wants to show that God can do a better one. Yeah, so, anyway. Right, so that's what happens. So she gleaned in the field until evening. So it was a long old day's work. Yeah. Yes. Hard and tiring, I think. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered. How about that? Now she's got her own little pile of the stuff, and now she's got to beat this barley to get... I don't know. You know, does barley thresh very well? Not very well, I don't think, because it keeps its outer shell on, doesn't it? It's harder to remove. Right, so barley's hard work.
Hard work, the flails.
Yes, yeah. So to get the stuff out, she had some hard work to do after working all day. Right, and she threshes this stuff, and it amounted to about an ephah. Yeah? She threshed the barley she'd gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. What is an ephah when it's at home?
Two thirds of a bushel,
which means
22 litres.
22 litres, which in weight would you guess? About 20 kilos. It's a. If you buy, I go over to Skylark to buy bird seed. You know, you get bulk, it's cheaper to get it in bulk, yeah. And I get a sack of bird seed, right? It's a 20 kilo sack, and it's that high, full of wheat and other seeds and so on, right? So she threshed that lot. That's a lot, isn't it? I mean, carrying it's going to be a job at all. Mm. Yeah.
She's been at it all day.
Exactly. So, she's not only a right good worker, she's got good biceps as well, it would seem. It's what we want, isn't it? Yeah? So, right. So, she gets all this together, and she carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she gathered, so Naomi realises she's done better than the usual. Yeah. And why did she do better than the usual? Because Boaz made sure that the stuff that was falling in her line. Right, yeah. So Ruth brought out and gave her what she'd left over after she had eaten enough. So she brought home a little snack as well for Mum. Right. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Isn't that nice? Naomi's sharp, you know. She says, "Where did you go to get all this?" And just to pronounce a blessing on whoever it was who did this, she says that, "Blessed whoever it was." She doesn't know yet. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she'd been working. What did she say? Well, she told her mother-in-law about him. Now, you ladies ought to be able to tell me this. What did she say? Because if it had been me, right, and Jean says, "What was he like?" Right? I'd say, "Well, he was called Fred." And that'd be it. Right? But what do you want to know? How big he is? What he looks like? What his action's like? And all that sort of stuff. I'm sure that's what she was asking.
All the info.
Info. Give me the info, right? So, she asked, "Who is he? What's the name of the man who worked there?" Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she'd been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. Right? So that doesn't mean anything to Ruth. It's just another name, right? "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. Hey, how about that? So, now, remember, this is Naomi who last week was saying, "Don't call me pleasant, call me miserable," because everything's gone wrong. Yeah, bitter was the word she wanted to be. She was to say, "Call me Mara, don't call me Naomi, because God's given me a hard time." But now she's getting really quite excited, isn't she? "The Lord bless him." And that's not just words. Again, she's calling down the blessing on this man. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." Who hasn't?
I was.
God.
God. It's God hasn't stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. Who's the living? Naomi and Ruth, right? And who's the dead?
Her husband
and her two sons. Yeah, right. Okay, that's what she's saying. She says God hasn't... Basically, she's saying is, God hasn't forgotten me after all. Yeah? That's really what it's about, isn't it? See?
Yeah.
If you wait long enough, you'll find out God hasn't forgotten you. Yeah? It's just when you're in the middle bit, you start saying, "Oh, it's all gone wrong. It's all..." Anyway, it hadn't. "The Lord bless him," she says. And then she added this. "This man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Right, now he's a close relative. What's going on in Naomi's head, I wonder?
He's already got married on.
The cogs are working, aren't they? Yes, the cogs are working here. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. And what she means by that is that that old custom that we talked about, that it was the responsibility of the close relative to take those who had no children, the widows, in order to have descendants for the family. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Right, so that's the idea of a kinsman redeemer, a relative who is able to redeem the family. Yeah. So, there you go. So Naomi, I think the cogs are going nicely now. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they've finished harvesting all my grain.'" So Ruth just gives her that little bit more info, saying, "Hey, you know what, Mum? He didn't just say he was very nice to me, he said, but he told me to keep coming." Mm. right, and to carry on working here. Very nice, eh? And what does Naomi say? Naomi said to her, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. Well, that's quite possible. I know this is a nice environment, it seems. It's wholesome environment, but you know, as Tom says, there's some funny fellas around, and he says, you just stay with them. You'll be all right with them. They'll look after you with the girls there, right? Yeah. Right, so she sticks with where it's safe. Yeah, so the Lord's looking after her in every way. Right. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. The wheat harvest comes after the barley harvest. So they're building up quite a store at home, I should imagine, as well, yes. Right. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Right. So that little phrase, well, we knew she was living with her mother-in-law, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes? So that little phrase is an introduction to the next bit. She's not going to be living with mother-in-law for much longer, it would seem. Or things are going to change anyway, that's what it's really suggesting, eh? So that's the next link to the chapter. It's a beautiful story, and again, it just illustrates this idea that it just so happens. It just so happens. Well, it doesn't just so happen. Although, in our lives it might seem like that. God is at work, yeah? He said to the Israelites, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Yeah, right? And then in Psalm 139, he says, all my days were written for me in your book before one of them came to pass. So, we're in this amazing thing about God being the one in control of our lives, so we can trust him even when things look pretty strange and some very sad and difficult things can happen. Yeah, because it's all going to work out in the end. It's the end bit that will keep us going, won't it? Yeah? It's all going to work out in the end. So we'll have to wait till the next time, see what happens after the barley harvest and the wheat harvest are over. We know, don't we? You've been reading it, haven't you? It's a great story. You know, it's quite a moving one. I'm not one for weeping and going all soft and whatever, but when I read about Ruth and her affection for God, you know, that it's a heart that's open to the Lord. It's absolutely beautiful. It really is. Yeah.
Like Esther.
Yeah, wonderful. So, let's pray. Eh? Lord, we bless you for this dear woman, Lord, that came out of nowhere to find grace and favour, Lord, in your sight first and then in the sight of those who loved you. We thank you for that, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for your grace and favour to us. Lord, we've come from nowhere. Lord, we are the less and the least of all your servants in that sense, Lord, and yet you've taken us in and provided for us and fed us, Lord, and protected us. And we bless you for your grace to us. Lord, as we receive your blessings, may we be like others, like Boaz, Lord, passing them on. We just pray your grace for each one of us. And thank you, Father, for these encouraging stories, that you are the God that's in charge of the details of our lives. Lord, help us to trust you, even in the difficult places, because, Lord, it'll be all right. Every tear shall be wiped away, Lord. Every sorrow be a thing of the past. Lord, and in this time, while we are in this world, help us, Lord, to trust you. For you are the God of Israel, the God who kept his promise, Lord, to bless those that bless you. So we thank you, Father, and we praise you for your grace to us in Jesus' name.